If you were in class this morning, you know David turned the kingdom over to his son Solomon. And before he died, he gave him some instructions that are found in the first few verses of chapter 2 of 1 Kings. This is a dream opportunity that we have. We would like to have one more opportunity before we die to tell the people that we love what's really important, what we've learned. A lot of people don't know that the last words they say will be the last words they will ever say. And they kind of waste it. Of course, that's excusable because we don't know that. The last thing that Klein Payton, the great preacher, said to his brother, they had spent a lifetime joking with each other and had humorous rivalries. And Klein was in a coma for quite a while, and his brother was standing by him, and Klein opened his eyes and saw his brother, and he said, "You're next." I'm sure that everyone in that family smiles when they think about that because they know it was part of it. But I would like to have heard something, well, that was pretty wise, wasn't it? Because our life is short. But that man could have told you some wonderful things that he said in the past. I like to think about this scene. Let's read it first and then we'll talk about it. When David's time to die drew near, he charged Solomon his son, saying, "I'm about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies. As it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, wherever you turn, that the Lord may establish his word, which he spoke concerning me, saying, 'If your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail you a man on the throne of Israel.'" I like to think about this scene. I like to think about David preparing himself for that moment. Maybe he hadn't been hungry for a while, but he decided he needed to eat a little bit to get his strength up. I can see him having people prop him up so that he won't fall asleep. I can see him going over it in his mind. I can see him taking a hold of Solomon's hand and drawing him close to him as he gives him these last very important words. I'm sure because of his weakened condition, he chose his words carefully. He gives this charge that he gives to his son. "I'm about to die. Your time has come." And he tells him to be strong. He doesn't say be strong. He says be a man. Be a man. That would be good advice if that's all he told him. Most of what's wrong with our world today is that men aren't being men. They aren't stepping up. He says not only be the man, but he says be strong and be a man. He's talking about courage here. He's talking about swallowing hard, taking a deep breath, and doing the job that you have to do. Dads, be a man. Be strong. Husbands, be a man. Be strong in the Lord. Elders, be the man. Take the job seriously. Face life with courage. Some people are too lazy. Some people are too afraid. Some people are too distracted with other things. And because of that, much goes undone that only the job, only in your circle you can do. He says, son, be strong and be the man. You're about to be king, and you can waste it as many kings have. You can play around and you can goof off. And you can be selfish and petty, or you can be strong. What he's really telling him is to be courageous and to face the hard job by doing a job. To a certain degree, this is mainly for a king, but to another degree, it's for all of us. The Christian is to face life with courage. And that's the first thing that he says. Show yourself a man. We still say that, don't we? We say man up. And we know what that means. It's kind of hard to explain. But it means fill the gap. It means take your place. It means if something fails, it won't happen here. It means over my dead body. When they were thinking about, almost did it, the majority of the people in the parliament were for it, to make a deal with Hitler and the Nazis to have a treaty that would make Great Britain a vassal of Germany, and they wouldn't have to have war with them. Churchill said it this way. He said, we will do that right after we strangle in our own blood. It will have to happen over our dead bodies. He was saying, man up, men. Your wives, your children, your nation depend on you. Do what you need to do. David tells Solomon that. Now, David was an expert at manning up. That was one thing he knew all about. Even when he was a boy, he manned up against lions and bears and then later Philistines and whatever else. He got distracted from time. David wasn't perfect. He got distracted sometimes, but he knew about this, and he knew how absolutely vital it is to be people of courage. It's hard. It's a lot easier to be afraid. But we should be people of courage. You see, we know how it ends. We know what's going to happen. We're not even told we have to win. We're told, what? Man up. Take your place. When Paul was talking to Timothy, he said the same thing when he said, take your share of suffering. Expect it. He told Titus, don't let anyone disregard you. Oh, man of God, you have something to do. Have enough courage to do it. Is that easy? Of course not. Is it possible? Yes. We should be people of courage. David, this is a classic thing. It ought to be carved in stone and set out here around the parking lot somewhere. Be strong and be the man. And then he says the second thing. First one is to live a life of courage. Then he says, keep the charge of the Lord. What he's really saying is live a life of obedience. He says it over and over again. He says, look what he says. And keep the charge of the Lord, your God, walking in his ways, keeping his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies. Now, why would he do that? Because you know that we are experts at splitting up sentences. We are experts at looking at a friendly definition to a word. We are experts in saying it depends on what is. We're experts at saying, of course I was not alone with that person. There were hundreds of people in that hotel. There's no way we could be alone in that hotel. everyone knows what question was asked, but we're experts at that. The Pharisees were experts at it. They said, I know the Bible says honor your father and mother, but in this particular case, because of this particular phrase and because of this particular apparent loophole, I'm going to take that money and put it over here, and then I'm still in charge of it. And he knows that. And so David, where breath was hard, where time was short, where every word matters, it's like the reason the words on the cross mean so much, not only because Jesus said them, but because we know how hard it was to say every word that he said, and we know each one is very important. He takes the commandments, he takes the words, and he takes, let's take the word testimony, for example. He uses that word. A testimony means a full arrangement, a final arrangement, as in the New Testament, as in your last will and testimony. Ordinances, that means a statute or a decree to lay a foundation. It means a fundamental, like the Constitution is for us. The law underneath the law, the ordinance. We even take that word and we apply it to military weaponry. When we say ordinance, we mean the thing that's behind that makes it possible for what's supposed to happen here. It's a reaching out with the law to accomplish its mission. The word statute, we get the word statue from that word statute. This means the measure of greatness. It means it's a standing rule. It means it's there. And it's not to be messed with. A statute. It's not only a rule, but it's a rule for so long it becomes a custom. This is how we do things. This is a statute of the Lord. Sometimes the laws of God are called testimonies because of the all-encompassing nature. Sometimes they're called ordinances because of the foundational truth behind them. And sometimes David calls them a statute, a standing rule, a custom, a decree. It also means a limit. In other words, this is what it means. It doesn't mean a lot of other things. It means this. And a command. A command is a law that you hear. It comes right from the mouth of the king. A commandment of the Ten Commandments were because God actually said them out loud, not only to Moses, but originally to all the people. They were written down, and we know that we wrote them down so we wouldn't forget what God himself said. There's commandments all through the Bible where it says, thus says the Lord. It's a word from God from his own mouth, his word, his saying. These are the things that are committed to Solomon's care. And because he said it every way he could think of, because he gave every title, then it would be, you would think it would be impossible to say, now, actually, this is a statute. It's not a commandment. Or we try to figure out some way to weaken one, or maybe if we are being expansive to take the law of God and make it bigger than it really is, or the commandments bigger. David said to be careful and to keep the charge of God, to understand his commandments, his statutes, his ordinances, his testimonies for what they are, and don't play loose with them. Understand them for what they are. In some ways, if we think about them being an undergirding, it means this is part of the reason you are the king and why you can stay the king, because God said you were going to be the king, and that's who you are, and you're standing not on your army and not on all the people, the influence you have, not even on the wisdom that God gave you. You're standing on an ordinance from God. You were anointed by a prophet. This God put his stamp of approval on you, and it's his law that keeps you in your place. His law that gives you the authority that you have. Remember which is which. That's what he's telling him. So if he's giving a good advice to us, he'd say, live with courage And then he would say, live in obedience. He even says, walk in his ways. This is not just something we do in court. It's not just something we do when we're writing a law. He says, this is who you are. You walk in his ways. There's another way that we sometimes want to kind of split up the commandments of God or the law of God or the precepts of God or all of that. We say, well, this is personal. Or maybe we say this is business. Or today we have a great number of people saying, well, now actually what this was a description of custom of the time. And Solomon is being told, son, be the man, be courageous, and be obedient. I'm sure David is thinking of two things. He's thinking about how great the commandments of God. You know, he said the word of God is like life to him. It's like honey to him. It gives him great inspiration and great insight. But he might also have been thinking about the times when he broke the commands of God and how horrible the results were. Maybe he's thinking about the people that died that didn't have to die because he didn't do what he was supposed to do or because he did what he shouldn't do. So as a father, he's giving his son great advice. And as the Holy Spirit wrote it down for us, he's giving us great advice to live obedient. We should be terrified if we take a thus saith the Lord and we say that doesn't apply, or it's not important, or it's something that was only for another time. We should be careful about that. We should be worried when we've decided that God didn't know enough when he made his rules and we need some more. And we try to equate our word with his. Jesus said, when we put as doctrine the commandments of men, our prayers, our worship is vain, empty. What David is telling Solomon is, you have a choice here, son. You can be a coward and be just another name on a list of failed kings, or you can live in courage. And you can live in obedience, or you can be vain. And you will get what you can get. You're on your own. Because the next thing he's going to tell him is the third really important thing. You know, a three-legged stool just is pretty sturdy. But two legs, you can't sit on it. Here's what he tells him. The next thing he says, not only keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies, he tells us it's all written down for you. It's written down by Moses. It's there. You can check it. You don't have to rely on your memory. You don't have to get a group of guys together and say, what do you think about this? You have the Word of God. Great gift that God gave us. Not as great as the incarnate Word, his Son, but we can't get to heaven without the written Word of God that gives us the will of God. We know what he wants. He told us. And he's telling him, obey that. And then he says, when you do this, all your ways will prosper. When you do this, you're living in compliance with God, a courageous life, an obedient life, in compliance with God. And why would he say all your ways will prosper? Look at verse 4. He said, it's a promise. Not a promise from David, which would be something, but a promise that God gave to David. And he's telling him what we must remember always is that we live by faith, which means we put all of our weight down on promises. Because by faith we believe the one who made the promise can keep it. I want more knowledge. I want to understand all of the mysteries. I want to be able to answer all of Patsy's questions that she asked me. But what I need is more faith. What I need is to live in obedience, courageously live in obedience, and put my weight down on promises. What I need is to follow Martha. When Jesus asked her, "Do you believe this?" she said, "I believe you." Of course we don't understand everything about God. What kind of a God would we understand completely? But we know he keeps his promises. And so David, with all that he had, he could say, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Why would he say that? Because he killed a giant? Why would he say that? Because he conquered kingdoms? He said it because God promised it. And he believed the promise because he believed God. And he's telling his son that, you know, already is not going to follow this advice. But when he does, he prospers. And when he doesn't get the promise that he could have had. We know that. We didn't even have to read that in the Bible to know that's how it works, because that's us, isn't it? We should be living courageous lives. We should not be afraid. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. We have a promise about that. We might be killed. We might be put in prison, but we won't be overtaken. We have an eternal covenant with God, and he knows our name. He's not. I saw a guy yesterday that I've known for years. I couldn't remember his name for anything. I remember last night late who he was, but I still don't remember his name. I don't know how. He looked at me and I looked at him, and I'm hoping he was in the same shape. I'm hoping he was sitting up at night thinking, we try to figure out things. We will never get it all figured out. God knows us, not casually. He knows how many hairs we have on our head. He knows that guy's name, and he knows that I didn't remember it. He knows it all. And he promised us. He promised. The promise he made to David: if your son behaves, he'll be king for a long time. And his son, and his son, and his son. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be something if they had all been faithful and Babylon wouldn't have had to happen? Wouldn't it be something if, when Jesus came, the king of Israel bowed before him? Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be good? There's promises that aren't kept because we don't live in courage and we don't live in obedience. Because part of the promise, remember Moses? He said it's all written in Moses. Before I set you life and death, choose life. Well, tonight, old David from his deathbed is giving us the same advice: to live courageously, to live obediently, and to live faithfully. I'm sure we got some things to do. I'm sure we have some work to do. And as we talked about this morning, I'm sure we have some repenting to do. We know this. It's all written down. We know what we can do, what we should do, what we can do, what we know we ought to do. So let's do it. Why not? Why not come to him right now while we stand and sing?